In ancient times, the Jewish people began a tradition of praying three times a day, in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And this eventually developed into a routine of prayer, and in particular, they prayed the Psalms, expressing the desires of their hearts, much like King David did, the author of the Psalms, when he wrote them. Even Jesus used to pray the Psalms, one of the most famous of which is his time on the cross, when he prayed from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, since most early Christians were converts from Judaism, they continued that tradition of prayer. And eventually, that tradition of praying the Psalms turned into what we call the universal prayer of the church. Sometimes we call it the Liturgy of the Hours or the Divine Office of Prayer. And it simply consists of a four-week cycle whereby if you pray all the different hours of the day, you will pray all 150 psalms over the course of the 4 weeks. The Liturgy of the Hours is a meditative prayer that we offer up our prayers as a church to God. Sometimes it's a prayer between the individual soul and God. Sometimes it's a prayer among the people of God. And sometimes it's a prayer between God and the world. Priests and religious and deacons are required to pray the Liturgy Hours every single day. Priests and religious five times a day and deacons twice a day. But it's not reserved just for the clergy and religious, but in fact, all the people of God, all the laity are encouraged to pray the Liturgy of the Hours each and every day. Since Vatican II, they've encouraged that. Sometimes pray it with the deacons and priests, sometimes on your own. And while we are offering night prayer, the people in other parts of the world are already offering morning prayer or evening prayer or afternoon prayer. And so in that way, at any given time, every hour of the day, the people of God are offering prayers to our Lord in heaven. And to fulfill what St. Paul has asked us to do, to pray without ceasing. Now, the last prayer of the Liturgy of the Hours is called night prayer, a prayer that we bring together all the thoughts of our day and offer our prayers to God so that we may rest in peace and sleep that night. Now, some of you may remember this prayer when you're little. Do you remember the prayer you said when you knelt down beside your bed? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should live another day, I pray the Lord to guide my way. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Remember that? Maybe you're not as old as me, so maybe not. Some of you do, I know. But as we get older, I would offer a suggestion that maybe as adults, we begin the tradition of offering night prayer. And night prayer always begins with an examination of conscience. We think back and reflect on our day. How did we live our lives that day? What were the events of the day? How did we spend our time? Were we faithful to Jesus' teachings? Did I respect the life and dignity of every human person? Did I recognize the face of Christ reflected in all others around me, whatever their race, religion, age, or ability might be? Did I make positive contributions to my family and my community? Did I live in material comfort and excess while remaining insensitive to the needs of others whose rights were not fulfilled? Am I disproportionately concerned about my own good at the expense of others? Does the way I spend my time reflect genuine concern for others? And so on. The poor man today in our parable is the only one in all of Jesus' parables who is given a name. That means he must be a very special person because we know names have a special significance. And so Lazarus is important. His name means God is my helper. And indeed, he was at peace with God. He had nothing in his life except deprivation and want and suffering throughout his whole life. But even in the midst of all his discomfort, God sends him some small consolation. The dogs come and lick his sores. No matter how bad things get, God does send us some consolations for us to remember. Lazarus is the one in the parable who does possess the true riches because he is at peace with God and God reigns in his heart. He doesn't try to dull that pain with focusing on material things, but simply offers his life in prayer and his suffering to God. And because of that reality, I imagine poor Lazarus prayed often. And I wonder what went through his mind as he prayed at night before he went to sleep. Lord, I'm so hungry. I would do anything to get something to eat. Why doesn't this man give me something? He washes his hands before he dines and dries them with scraps of bread. And I would gladly eat those dirty scraps of bread that fall from his table. Thank you, Lord, for sending these dogs to greet me. They wag their tails in joy, and they lick my sores. Their soft, warm tongues bring me some relief to my suffering and agony. But what about the rich man? Do you think he prays? Does he pray at all? We certainly knew who Lazarus was there every day. He laid at his doorstep. He had to literally walk over him when he came in and out of his house. He knew he was there, but he never saw him as a person. And what's changed in 2,000 years? How many of us have driven up to an intersection where someone was asking for money? And what did we do? Did we maybe roll up our window, pick up our cell phone, and pretend we were talking to somebody on the phone that really wasn't there? Or maybe we passed judgment and said, he's only going to spend it on alcohol or drugs, or maybe he's got some mental illness. When we make that instant judgment on people, we're doing no better than the rich man. We don't see a person. In fact, I imagine if this happened to us, if a poor beggar was sitting at the door of our homes, we certainly wouldn't ignore him, but probably would call the police and have him arrested. We know from Scripture that the rich man knew who Lazarus was, because even after death, he called him by his name. He cried out, "Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames." But in his arrogance, the rich man doesn't even address Lazarus directly or personally, but instead asks Abraham to send him to him. And so there's malice there too. He doesn't ask to be removed from the flames or to even join Lazarus, but that Abraham should send Lazarus to serve him in his torment. Even in death, the rich man refuses to show him dignity and respect as a person. Doesn't have any apology, no contrition. And so he condemns himself to hell forever. Unlike Lazarus, he doesn't have a name. He's simply known as the rich man. We earn our names in heaven by our compassion and our care for those in need, especially those who can't pay us back. And Jesus does not give him a name because his name is not written in heaven. We know that every person is made in the image and likeness of God. So as Christians, if we ignore our brothers and sisters, we're not even worthy of a name. Love is a choice we make to treat each other as a good in themselves, to treat them with compassion and to serve them. And if we choose not to serve, not to care, we choose to become less than human and in fact become inhuman over time and therefore nameless by God. And so, God doesn't need to judge us. We bring judgment upon ourselves when this happens. When we treat our neighbors, even those, no matter how bad, or maybe that have hurt us, without God's love and compassion. Contrary to some secular popular opinions, Christianity isn't about feeling or emotion or sentiment. It's about sacrifice and commitment and offering ourselves in service to God and others. That's why St. Paul wrote, that I have been crucified in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh is a life I live in the faith of God the Son, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do we recognize how humbling that is to be son or daughter of God, to have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us? But yet how often do we think, I don't need God. I can do it myself. And that's why the sin of pride is that lowest rung of moral degradation. Pride destroys our love for God and others because it seeks only itself and desires only that thought for today, nothing in concern for our afterlife. The rich man dresses like a king and he acts like a god, but he's just a man. And those corrupted by the worship of money and material things are so focused on their own ego that they don't see the people around them many times. They become invisible to them. And that's why attachment to material things gives us a sort of blindness in our lives. But there's a deeper truth to this reality in this gospel reading today that St. Augustine explained in his homily. He says that Lazarus was received into heaven because of his humility and not because of his poverty. And wealth itself was not what kept the rich man from eternal bliss. His punishment was for selfishness and disloyalty. See, the thing about choices is that they have consequences. And all of us, I'm sure, have made choices for which we have had to deal with the consequences that we later regretted. I know I have. But part of God's love for us involves respecting our freedom and respecting our choices. Even that choice means we reject him. In the parable of the rich man, he's forced to live with the consequences of his actions, and that consequence is eternal separation from God. And that, my friends, is hell. God would not and will never send us to hell. But when we reject him in our lives, we are making that choice to live in all eternity away from him. In his visit to the United States in 1979, St. Pope John Paul II gave a speech at Yankee Stadium, and he explains that this parable must always be present in our memory. It must form our conscience. We cannot stand idly by, enjoying our riches and freedom, if in any place the Lazaruses of the 21st century stand at our doors. And these words are as relevant 40 years later in 2019 as they were in 1979. There are so many Lazaruses in the world, so many hungry, nameless, broken faces, and many of them remain invisible to us. Lord, help us to be ever and always aware of those around us. Give us hearts of compassion and love, and open our eyes to see you in everyone we meet. Amen.